Good morning, fellow sojourners. It is the 22nd of January 2024, and the title of today's teaching is Who Told You That? The first thing that springs to my mind when I hear those words is in the Garden of Eden when God asked Adam and Eve who told them they were naked, when up to that point they had not known that they were. We're not far into the new year, and many of us only returned to work last Monday. But I know that some have got dreams and hopes, and even perhaps have had word from God. But something is holding you back. And today I want to look at the number one thing that limits us from boldly stepping out and doing what we are called to do, or even to prosper daily. Have you ever noticed how starkly different we see ourselves to how God sees us? Throughout the Bible we see this happening, and Gideon is a very good example of this. He was called a mighty warrior, and in other translations, a man of valor. But he himself saw himself as the least in his father's house, and even part of the weakest clan in Manasseh. And then we get to Moses. God clearly knew that he was the right man to do what he'd asked him to do, or else he wouldn't have asked him. But Moses' response shows us that he believed something entirely different. Look at his words. He says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Neither of them thought that they had what it took, and yet both of them did amazing things that still inspire us today. So what is it that causes us to think so differently to God in this area? The answer is found in Genesis, and it can be summed up in one word: deception. Deception was, and still is today, Satan's number one weapon to keep us off our purpose and away from living the abundant lives that we're meant to be living. So let's first take a look at what deception is. The dictionary defines deception as the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. For the purposes of today's teaching lesson, however, we look at deception and we say it can be described as follows. To be deceived would be when we believe or consider things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I know you can see where I'm going with this. You see, the Word of God is so full of truths of who we are and what we can do. And it's also so full of promises that we can believe in and stand on. And yet we don't seem to see them as applicable to us. We believe and consider things contrary to the Word of God. And it's time that we drew a line in the sand and saw it for what it is. And what better place to learn about deception than to look at the very first account ever? And that is found in Genesis 2, verse 15. We hear that God speaks to Adam. He says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying," and I want you to listen to these words very carefully, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." I mentioned that you should take note of the words, but I want to show you how different they are in the very, very next chapter when the serpent enters the picture. In Genesis 3 we read, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The first point I want to make here is that I want you to see that God used a serpent, and it is described as the most cunning of beasts than any. It was more cunning than any beast in the field. So you notice that he didn't make use of a big, intimidating animal that would have forced them into submission, but rather a small creature that would operate in subtlety. For my part, there's not much subtlety to my reaction when I encounter a snake. But having lived on the plot now for 3 years, I can understand the reasoning behind using or at least selecting a serpent for the story. And it's because of its very nature. The serpent's nature lends itself beautifully to the subtlety of deception. It is small, it is a master of disguise, and it is incredibly fast. And so we need to know that any deception we find today in our lives will be exactly that, subtle. The second point I want to highlight is that Satan quoted what God had said, but he misquoted it. He did the same thing when he tempted Jesus in the desert, interestingly enough. And again, you'll see that it is so subtle. He changes the words ever so slightly, but in doing so, he made Eve focus on the one thing that God didn't say. He presents it in such a way that it makes her focus on the one tree they were not to eat of, instead of all the other trees that they could in actual fact eat of. We all know how one small change in a sentence can alter its entire meaning. Satan constantly fights to draw us away from God. He deceives us daily by saying things contrary to the word of God, and it is the best way to distract and disempower us. Perhaps God has called you to preach or teach, or perhaps it's something else entirely different, but you're focusing on a lisp or a stutter. Perhaps he's called you to start a church, and you're so focused on the one thing, and that is the funding that you're going to need. Or perhaps it's a career choice, but you don't feel like you are confident enough. Don't let Satan distract you so that you focus on the one thing that God did not say or even consider. I recently met with a friend of mine who I studied with at Caris, and let me tell you, this man can preach. He is on fire for God. He told me how God had called him into ministry when he was a young man, and how it took him a while to get into it and follow the call. When he finally stepped out in faith and accepted an invitation to preach, he did exceptionally well. And how he knows that is because everybody in attendance came to him afterwards and gave him good feedback. Everyone except one woman, whose feedback was negative. I suspect she was important enough to him for her feedback to carry such weight, but it totally discouraged him and it took ages for him to get back on track. So this is where I ask, who told him he couldn't or shouldn't preach? Think about it. God told him that he should and could. But Satan very subtly, through one woman, told him that he couldn't or shouldn't. I had a similar experience when I taught at a conference years ago, only to have a lady in the audience fall asleep during my teaching. In my case, he didn't make use of her directly, but he made use of my own thoughts to discourage and disqualify me. The last thing I want to highlight in the story is that Satan knew that God had spoken to Adam and not to Eve, and yet he approached her. Why did he do this? It is so clever. He would have known that the instructions that were given to Adam would have been related to her by Adam, which allowed for obscurity and vagueness to creep in. We see this in that Eve mentions that they should not eat of the tree, lest they die, which is in actual fact what God says. But then take note, she actually adds to that by saying that they should not touch it either, which is in fact not what God had said. I had a friend who used to say that the problem with deception is that it is, by its very nature, deceptive, and you don't see it coming. And again, I want to stress to you how subtle all of this is. So now that we see how the enemy operates, how do we ensure that our eyes are open to identify the deception before it comes or when it's on its way? The answer is so simple, and yet we make it so complex. We need to become masters of hearing from God. Our prayer life should be active, and the word of God should be our daily bread so that we know what God says about us. And then we need to close our ears and guard our hearts against anything else, because it is exactly that. It is contrary to the word of God. Jesus showed us in the midst of his temptation by Satan in the desert how it is done. He quoted scripture every single time the enemy lied to him about who he was and what he could do. Just a small side note here. It's also great to listen to teachings and sermons by others, but I want to ask you to make sure that you're getting into the Word of God yourself. Because not only will you find yourself written in the pages, just as Jesus did, but it will also prevent any obscurity or vagueness creeping in, as was the case with Eve. So come on, I want you to join with me today and draw that line in the sand. Who told you that you can't do it? Who told you that you're not good enough? Who told you that it was not going to be a good year, full of limitless opportunities? If the word of God says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me in Romans 8. And if the word of God also says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians 4 verse 13, then who told me otherwise? I choose not to listen anymore. And I urge you to do the same. Have an awesome week and we'll chat again next week. Goodbye.